You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Ray Fittipaldo, top of the hour here on a Donnie Football Friday. Listen to the Pomp and Joe Show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle and Cranberry Contest. Run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 937thefan.com contesting page. All right, gentlemen, I asked for a very simple exercise. Your three favorite and three least favorite home playoff games for the Steelers at Acrisure Stadium, formerly known quite affectionately as Heinz Field. So, Donnie, let's start with our least favorite games. You could say worst games, but I want to personalize this a little bit. What were your three least favorite Steeler games from 3 to 1?
So number three, I put the Steelers-Ravens 2014 wild card game in there. That was
a horrible game.
Yeah, I mean, that was one that Joe Flacco and company kept the Steelers at arm's length the entire time. Speaking of Renegade, I don't think they played it. They couldn't find a time to play it in that game, and the wise thing was to not do it.
Le'Veon was hurt?
Yes, because the Steelers were coming off another win-and-in scenario the week before against Cincinnati. They won that game. They get a home Saturday night playoff game, revved-up crowd, and Joe Flacco made big plays. Terrell Suggs had an interception between his legs, if I recall, in that game.
Can either of you name the three running backs who filled in for Bell that day? I would say I'll buy you a steak dinner, but not anytime soon. The three running backs who filled in for Le'Veon that day, who were they?
I can't remember the guy's first name. It was either Brandon or Ben Tate.
Ben Tate?
Ben Tate, yeah.
Ben Tate. Was that a Fitzy Toussaint? Was he in that game?
He wasn't one of the top three, no.
What year again?
It was the 2014 season, so January of 15.
So that would have been pre-D'Angelo Williams?
Yes.
Okay.
Maybe, was John Dwyer still there?
Not on that day.
Isaac Redman?
Not on that day. One of them was quite tiny.
Baron Batch.
No, but that's a great guess.
Chris Rainey?
Great guess. Chris Rainey type.
Dree Archer.
Yeah, that's two.
Oh.
That's two of the three, Donnie. And the other one is a national treasure.
I'm trying to think of the random guys that ran in that game in Denver in, 2011 against.
Well, that was Toussaint, and that was, who was that other guy? Jordan Todman.
Unbelievable guesses by you. Josh Harris.
Never would have got that.
That was the guy, because he's the guy that accused Ben of.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. What, he accused Ben of, like,
intentionally fumbling or something?
Yeah,
I can't remember what the accusation was. When I look up Josh, here's how obscure Josh Harris was. When I Google his name, an American investor and sports team owner named Josh.
Yeah, the guy that owns the Commanders.
Yeah, exactly. Poor little Josh Harris. And then the second guy comes up is a safety for the Chargers. Anyway.
How many career games did Josh Harris, the running back, play? Was it that one?
I'm going to say six. Let's look him up. Here he is. Josh Harris out of Wake Forest. 5 games, 9 attempts for 16 yards with a long of 4. He outdid Najee at least. No, he didn't. His long was only 4. All right, Donnie, your next game.
The 2020 wild card against the Browns. A record high amount of points given up in the game, 48.
Yeah.
And it was never as close as the score indicated. The Steelers clawed back a little bit. But the very first play, if there's ever been a tone set for a playoff game on the first play, knowing that things would go poorly, it was that game. A snap over Big Ben's head that neither Ben or James Conner could figure out how to hop on in the end zone. So they let a Browns defender do it first. Out of the gate, already down 7-0. Nobody was in the stands. It was the COVID year. A season that started 11-0 ended in an absolute whimper.
Man, whimper is a kind word for that thing. All right, your least favorite Steeler home playoff game at Acrisure is what?
Steelers-Jags 2017. Again, get down big.
It was the same game.
Yeah, rally back. You give up 45 points to a team quarterbacked by Blake Bortles.
Ugh.
Leonard Fournette, I know, was a thorn in their side. They had a great, great defense. Kind of similar to what Houston has. That was an elite defense that Jacksonville had. Jalen Ramsey on that defense as a rookie. Miles Jack on that defense, I think, as a rookie or a second-year player. What we were discussing, Telvin Smith, that was the guy who had the touchdown.
Yeah, he was
game.
Great. In the locker room, he was hilarious.
You had the fourth down attempt that was a toss to the outside to Le'Veon Bell. That was a disaster. The game, just a disaster. Well, had some exciting moments when they tried to come back, but again, not as close as the score indicated.
To put a punctuation mark on that one, Tomlin, on the Steelers' final drive, wouldn't kick a field goal and then do an onside kick. Instead, it was Ben DiJuju with 1 second left on the clock. What are you going to do with 1 second left? Your only hope is to do an onside kick and pick it up and run for a touchdown, Donnie. Nobody could believe it. And the other thing that happened was that was the year Tomlin guaranteed they were going to go to the AFC title game against the Patriots, remember?
Yes. Yeah, he got ahead of himself.
He told Tony
said,
Dungy
don't worry,
that.
We'll see him again.
My outstanding memory from that one is that Tom Coughlin was right next to me in the press box and was losing his mind. He was a former Jags coach. Now he was the, you know,
some sort of consultant or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know what he was. He was losing his mind. Yeah, like you couldn't help but what is this guy doing about the officiating and everything else? It was like he was on the sidelines. It was crazy. I like that list, Donnie, and I'm very proud of you for that. And I share my least favorite Steeler, the worst Steeler playoff games at Acrisure. Except for one. Of course, number three is...
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
The different one. It's Patriots 41, Steelers 27 in the AFC title
game. Good pull, yeah.
Just because...
I guess even 0-1 could have been put on there.
Very similar game against the cheating Patriots. And I might add, ESPN ran an investigative report back in 2015. So 10 years after this game. Because the question had always been, you know, is there a play that we can actually relate to Spygate? Like a specific instance of all these cheating allegations? Well, this investigative report, I'll quote it right here. Some of the Steelers' defensive coaches remain convinced, this was as of 2015, that a deep touchdown pass from Brady to Deion Branch came from stolen signals because Pittsburgh hadn't changed its signals all year, sources say. And the two teams had played a game in the regular season that then Patriots assistant Matt Walsh told investigators he believed was taped. How about that, Donnie? And then throw on this. This is a quote from a former Steelers coach to ESPN. They knew the signals, so they knew when it went in, what the coverage was, and how to attack it, says this former coach to ESPN. I've had a couple guys on my teams from New England, and they've told me those things. You remember that report?
I do.
So this game is highly in question for me, but it was such a devastating defeat for the Steelers, and it looked like it was Jerome's last game, but he did decide to come back. You remember that one. You may have cried that day, Donnie.
I was a youngster.
Yeah.
I'm actually upset that I didn't put it on my list, Joe, and I'm revising mine on the fly.
I'm very
putting
good.
That at number two.
Okay.
Have I ever told you about the time I watched back the 0-1 AFC Championship game?
No, but I'm intrigued.
Because, you know, I love to watch back those old games.
I
thought it was a a pretty like funny back and forth between Greg Gumbel and Phil Sims, because they were the top team at CBS at the time. And they're breaking down a play that the Steelers run that the Patriots just blow up. They're all over it.
Yeah.
And Phil Sims makes the comment, you know, it's funny, New England, they know all these tricks. And like they go like kind of back and forth for a minute. And I just thought that was a funny line that he threw in there, not knowing anything.
Hines said that they did know the signals because, that game, the offensive plays that
right,
game.
But like as Sims is watching and he's like, yeah. He's just thinking, man, you know, every little thing the Steelers pull out here, the Patriots know where it's going to be.
That's wild. So I have, yes, the horrible AFC title game loss followed by the Jags game, which was just, I mean, it was 28-7. And then number one worst game was, I mean, first of all, it was the Browns. Secondly, their head coach wasn't even there. Stefanski was at home with COVID. Baker Mayfield didn't even know one of the guys in his huddle. He said after the game, we had Michael Dunn step in at left guard for Betonio. And then Michael got hurt, and a guy named Blake, who I introduced myself to literally in the locker room before the game, stepped up in the fourth quarter. That's who they lost to, Donnie, and gave up 48 points. I'll tell you this much, though. The two games that Ben had in those two of those games, the Jags and the Browns, were two of the most statistically remarkable games in NFL playoff history. Check this out. In the Jags game, and believe me, he was horrible in the Browns game. But in the Jags game, even though he fumbled early and had a pick, he threw for 469 yards and 5 touchdowns. That's the 4th most yards and tied for the 2nd most touchdowns ever in a playoff game.
On an elite defense.
And then against the Browns, he had 4 picks, which count. But he also had 501 yards passing and 4 touchdowns. So in those two games, he had 970 yards passing and 9 touchdowns.
Did he throw the ball in the Browns game like 60 times?
Yes, in both games, it just got to be ridiculous. And one thing that should be underscored too is they scored on a pretty much a Hail Mary at the end of the first half in the Jags game.
Yes.
And he had Martavis Bryant and Antonio, two great Hail Mary players, yet at the end of the game, instead of kicking a field goal, trying to get the onside kick and throwing a Hail Mary, Tomlin kept the clock going until the very last play.
Yep.
What happened, Donnie? Why wouldn't you kick a field goal? Even if someone playing Madden knows that, you kick the field goal because there's still time left.
He probably said something about wine and squash and grapes after the game. I don't know.
Wow. Okay. Limits? Would you care to weigh in very quickly? We'll do our favorite games later, your 3 least favorite games.
Yeah, my least favorite is that Browns game, especially it started off 11-0, then you realize the Steelers were kind of frauds. I had 2nd as Steelers-Jags 2017 because I thought that team could realistically go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I think we all did. And 3rd, I put Steelers lose to Patriots 2004, even though I was only like 2 years old for that.
You cried that day.
I cried that day. I'm sure I did as a youngster.
Maybe not about the game, but you definitely cried that day.
Yeah, I'm sure.
All right, fair enough. We basically had all the same. Although, if the category was simply the worst football game of those, you hit on it. Ravens 30, Steelers 17 was a brutal football game to watch. I remember nothing except for Ben and Heath Miller questionably returning with head injuries late in the game. Mm-hmm. And other than that, it was a travesty of a game.
Yeah, like they were never, I mean, and I know in some of these other ones, they were never as close as it looked.
Yeah.
But at least in those other games, there were some highlights that you can point sure. out and remember. I mean, like that Jags game, there were highlights all over the place. They lost the game.
Oh, it was unbelievable. Yes. Well, the one thing to be said, too, from the Browns loss, is they were down 28-0 and 35-7, I believe. And they cut it to 35-23. And
they punted.
And with a 4th-and-1 at their own 46, with all the momentum, Tomlin. I'm glad he didn't do that against the Ravens. Seriously, maybe you evolve in certain ways. You know what I mean? He came to win that Ravens game last weekend. He was going for broke.
He has coached a lot more aggressively in the last handful of games this season, and I can appreciate that.
Me too. I mean, and that's why I didn't mind, and I said it, even though they failed, I love that they went for it at the end of the half. You go for the touchdown there.
Me too. I mean, I don't. Maybe not in agreement with the play call or the personnel, but I agree with the idea to go for it.
Yeah.